So today, the message that I want to talk to you about is titled, Forgivers Remember No More. Yeah. Forgivers Remember No More. And you can open up your Bibles with me to the main text we want to look at today, and that's going to be Mark chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. And it says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. I want us to look today about how God forgives. How does God forgive? Because he's our model, and if he's telling us that we're to forgive so that he can forgive us, then it's important for us to know how we're supposed to forgive. What does that look like? What is genuine forgiveness? So we're going to look at that today, and we're going to look at how God forgives. But one of the best examples and the most moving examples I've heard of in an account of forgiveness came from a woman named Corrie Ten Boom. And it's makes such an impact that I want to share with you part of this testimony. And she gives an account of her life. She was taken captive by the Nazis and was in prison. And then after being released, she traveled around to tell people about the forgiveness of God. And so let me share this account with you. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, she said. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land. And I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that's where sins, forgiven sins, were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. And even though I cannot find a scripture for it, I believe God then places a sign out there that says, in bold all capital letters, no fishing allowed. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood in silence. In silence, collected their wraps. In silence, left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush, the huge room with the harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. The place was Ravensbrück, and the man who was making his way forward had been a guard, one of the most cruel guards. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein! How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was the guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition. That we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand, I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. When we tell someone that we forgive them, we're not telling them what they did to us was okay. On the contrary, we're to call sin, sin. And if somebody sins against you, you're to call it sin. And if they hurt you, you're to say that they hurt you and call it what it is. But we are to choose to do what's right. And we're to choose to obey God. And forgiveness is a choice just as love is a choice. We don't need to wait for warm, fuzzy feelings towards the offender before we choose to forgive. Because if we did, we may never forgive. Sometimes there are not warm, fuzzy feelings when somebody wrongs you, when they hurt you, when they damage you and injure you. Hurt's real. Anger is real. Yet God tells us that if we want to be forgiven, we are to forgive others. So we choose to do right. And when we do that, God will help us, and the feelings will eventually follow. Yes, you can be angry and still forgive. You can be hurt and still forgive. One does not disqualify you from the other. Because we don't forgive based on feelings. We forgive based on an act of our free will in choosing to obey God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it gives us the definition of love. And in that definition, it says that love does not take into account a wrong suffered. And the Amplified Bible even puts it this way. It says that love takes no account of the evil done to it. Yes, there is evil. Sometimes people do evil things. And yet we as Christians are to walk in love and forgive and not take into account offenses. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." So from this verse, we see that we are the caretakers of our heart. We're to guard our hearts from unforgiveness, from bitterness, from offense. That's our responsibility. That's actually not God's. That's for us to do. We're told that we are to guard our heart. Why? Because out of our heart flows the issues of life, flow the springs of life. The condition of our heart affects our life. I want to share this with you. Once, some time ago, an individual came up for prayer. And when they came up, they said they were feeling a lot of pain in their body. But in feeling this pain, they immediately said, "I know that this is connected to unforgiveness. And I have to forgive someone." And they had made that association themselves, that connection themselves. And so I talked to them for a few minutes and explained that they could still be angry and yet choose to forgive. They could still be hurt and still forgive. That it was a matter of choosing to do the right thing. And so they went ahead and they forgave the person. And then we prayed for healing. And immediately they were healed, and all pain left their body. So we can see from that, yes, praise God. They already knew there was a connection to the unforgiveness and what they're wrestling with in their heart and the flow of God's healing power. So we can say this, forgiveness allows healing to flow from God. Well, if forgiveness allows healing to flow from God, then unforgiveness is going to do what? It's going to stop it up. It's going to block it. It's going to clog it. It's going to hinder it. It's going to prevent it. And if we see that even in something like healing, what else could it be blocking and clogging? Other things possibly also, right? So this is why we see the connection that we are to guard our heart because out of it flow the issues of life. The condition you keep your heart in is going to affect what your life is like. So that's why it's so very important that we as Christians are caretakers of our precious heart, our precious spirit, and that we keep it soft and settled before the Lord, forgiving offenses, forgiving when someone wrongs us, keeping our heart tender so that God can work on us and speak to us. I remember another time, this was all in the same year, somebody else coming up to the altar and they wanted prayer for healing. And we were impressed to ask them, different time, is there anyone that you have unforgiveness towards? I don't always ask that when somebody wants healing, but in this case, we felt prompted to ask that. And this person stood there and nodded their head. Yes, they had unforgiveness towards someone. And so we shared about the importance of forgiveness and asked them if they wanted to forgive. I assumed, well, of course, they would. That was my thought. To my amazement, they shook their head no. They were refusing to forgive. And I thought, well, you know, maybe something just happened to them. Maybe it's a fresh wound and, you know, maybe they need some time. We don't want to judge that. You know, we don't know what somebody went through. We don't know how bad it was. Maybe they needed more time to process it. But they flat out refused to forgive and just shook their head no. And tears came to their eyes. They welled up with tears and still no. And then I even walked them through the process of explaining that you don't necessarily even have to like the person you need to forgive. You don't have to think highly of them. You don't have to respect them. You can actually even not care for them very much. You can still feel anger towards them. But this is an act of your free will to choose to forgive. So we can call whatever they did to you, whatever offense, however they wronged you, sin. It is sin. It was wrong, whatever they did. If there was hurt, it was wrong. God didn't want you to be hurt. He doesn't want you to be in pain. He doesn't want us to hurt one another. But yet, no matter what went on, He still wants us to forgive. Even after explaining that, you don't have to feel forgiveness. Just choose to do it. Trust God that He'll help you with the feelings after you choose to be obedient. And still, I got a head shaking no. Well, they'd come up for prayer, and so I did what seemed to be the right thing. And even though in my heart I'm thinking, I don't think you're going to get healed, but you came up here for prayer for healing, and they still wanted prayer for healing. So we prayed for them to be healed. And guess what happened? Nothing! Nothing happened. There was no healing power made manifest. They did not get healed. And then they left the altar. And at that point, then, all I can do is pray for them that God continues to work on their heart, to soften their heart. Right? But we see two different people, two different accounts. One knew the connection and knew what to do, knew what they had to do, and even though it was hard, chose to do the right thing. And God, boom, is right there to back you up with when you choose to do something in obedience. And He brings His fruit to bless what you just choose to do. God is good. Forgiveness is a blessing, not just for the person we're forgiving, but if we would so realize this, it's a blessing for us because it allows the blessings of God to continue to flow to us, such as healing, as an example in this case. Well, let's look at how God forgives. And I'd like you to look up the scripture, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. And we're going to actually look at three scriptures here so that there's no question in our minds after today in understanding how God forgives. But this first verse we're going to look at, in Jeremiah, it says, they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So we see a connection here between God forgiving and not remembering the sin anymore. He forgives and he chooses not to remember it. He forgives and he chooses not to dwell on it. He forgives and he chooses not to remind you of it. Once you've repented, it's as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. It's not just covered, it's completely removed. Yes. That's how God forgives. He forgives and he remembers it no more. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Another one that's very similar, right in Hebrews again, is Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. God doesn't remind us of our past once we have repented. If it comes back up, it's not coming from God. In the same way, then, we who are to be like God, conformed in the image of Christ, are not to remind others of their past sin once they have repented. This is true for all relationships, that with our spouse, with our children, our parents, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors. If we have forgiven, then we choose not to remember it. We don't think on it, and we don't bring it back up as ammunition against them at a future time. We can allow others to be free from their past, allow others to grow, allow others to change, allow others to forget their past also. Once God has set them free, let's not be the ones to hold them in bondage to their past. This is especially important in marriage. We can forgive as God forgives and choose to remember it no more. Aren't you glad that God does that for you? I sure am. We can be as loving and as gracious and as forgiving to others as God is to us. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Well, so you may have this question then. Yeah, but what if I think I've forgiven, but I get flooded with the memories of what they've done to me in the past, this thing and that thing. What do I do with those thoughts? They come back to me. Does that mean I haven't forgiven? What do I do when I get flooded with all of these issues and these sins and how they've wronged me and hurt me? Well, the good news is that the Bible has an answer for us. Thank God for the Word. And what does the Bible say regarding this? In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There it is right there. We are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So once you have forgiven something, and the thought comes back to you, you are to make a conscious choice to take that thought captive and measure it against the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Does it say to dwell on past sin, whether they're yours or somebody else's, past hurts, past offenses? No. No. Take it captive. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're not to think on it. Let me put it to you this way. It would be kind of like driving a car. And you get in the car and you start the car and you put your foot on the gas and then you throw your arms up in the air and you say, look, Mom, no hands! Well, eventually that car is going to go off the road into the ditch. No matter how good the alignment is, it's still eventually, with the bumps in the road, going to veer off. Your thought life is like you driving a car. You don't go hands off. Just as you're responsible for guarding your heart, we're responsible for paying attention to what we're thinking on, what we dwell on. And we don't want to go hands off and to let any little thought wander through. And we certainly don't want to let any thought camp, set up camp in our thought life. Right. Well, how exactly do we do that? Well, by paying attention to what you're thinking on. And once you've forgiven, and that thought comes back to you of that experience or what they did to you or how many times they did it, you're to stop and say, no. You're to take the steering wheel of your thought life. Put your hands on the steering wheel of your thought life and say, I will not think on that. It's not productive. I've already forgiven it. It's in the past. And so I'm not going to dwell on it. And sometimes it can be a little bit of a battle. But if you'll stay in there and fight that, you'll find that you'll win. And then you can kind of push those thoughts away that are trying to pull you into a different direction. Well, Philippians 4:8 also helps us on this, and it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So past sin doesn't fit into that category, whether it's yours or somebody else's. Past sin is not lovely. It's not worthy of praise. And so don't dwell on it. I'm not saying deny it. Yes, you need to deal with it. It needs to be processed. But once you have forgiven, then we're not to dwell on it. Because the enemy would very much like to get you caught up in your thought life and have you waste a couple hours of your day storming in your mind about how somebody wronged you and distract you and put you on negative things, try to cause depression or hopelessness. Yet if we'll be active in what we allow ourselves to think on, we can change that process, and we can stay focused on things that are lovely and pure. Amen. The Apostle Paul had a good word for us. He said, and it seemed to have worked for him, he said, forgetting what lies behind, I press on. Let me read that to you. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God has a future for you, and it's going to be different than your past. But if your eyes are focused on your past, they're not going to be able to see your future. So it's time for you to let go of the past and grab a hold of the future, because yesterday is gone. 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 It's gone. Do you hear me? It's gone. It's gone. Glory to God. Yesterday is gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. And today is a new day, and tomorrow is another new day. Glory to God, your past is over. Your past is over. And who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. And if the glorious God has said, I've called you to minister in my name, then you're to minister in his name. If he's called you to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, then you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your marriage was like yesterday. It matters what you're going to make it like today. It matters what you're going to do tomorrow. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do tomorrow? Your past is over. It's over. Hallelujah. And if that woman, Corrie Ten Boom, could forgive her captors where her sister died, then in our marriages, we can forgive our spouse. Yes, in our relationships, we can forgive and go on. If she can forgive those that held her prisoner, those that tortured those women, then certainly love can flow in our relationships. I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm talking about what you're going to do now. What you're going to do now. Who you're going to be now. What your choices are now. Let go of the past. It's over.
Amen.
It's over. God does not call you to walk backwards. He calls you to walk forward. So you now walk forward with Jesus Christ, arm in arm. He's now your husband. And you walk forward with Jesus Christ. He's your spouse, as it will, on this earth. And you walk with him. You let him treat you the way that men are supposed to treat you. You let him model for you unselfish love. You let him model for you the way that he loves the church. You let him take that place now. You let him be that for you. And you simply choose to forgive. And you walk on with him. And when more offenses come, because unfortunately they will, and I'm not prophesying that, God said, you will have trouble in this life. Tests and trials will come. Then you just choose to forgive again. You let it go. You stir yourself back up and you walk on with him and you thank God that you don't have to live with him anymore. Yeah. That's for those of you that are divorced, not for anyone that's thinking about it. Okay? Well, we're supposed to think on whatever is worthy of praise, so hallelujah. Find something to be happy about. If Corrie Ten Boom could forgive her captor, forgive that her sister had died there, certainly, certainly, we can forgive these offenses. We can forgive these smaller things in life. And I'm not saying that they're unimportant. And I know when there's a lot of small things, they all add up. And it seems really big. But God is bigger than all of those offenses added up together. God is bigger, stronger, able to break through any barrier wall that's been built up in a marriage. We've got to allow him to break through that. We've got to choose to tear down the stones and the walls that we've built up in relationships where we've closed off our heart or hardened our heart from others. Sometimes we do it as just a natural defense because we don't want to take any more hurt. I don't like to be hurt. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. It hurts. But if we'll let those stones come down and we'll forgive, 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 clear the field, clear the path, start new, start fresh, let God operate. The goal on this life needs to be kept in mind. We can sometimes get so caught up in earthly things that we can sometimes forget the purpose of us being here. We're not here necessarily for our own comfort, our own selfishness, our own self to fulfill its desires. Yes, God wants to bless us. Yes, he wants us to have a nice life. But you know what he's interested in? He's interested in walking with you, talking with you, and here's a big key. You ready for this? Conforming you to the image of Christ. And how do you think that's going to happen? You're going to go live in a cave like a hermit and read your Bible all by yourself. Don't you wish? On a beach somewhere, maybe, some tropical remote island where there's no other people. The only problem with that is then you don't have to walk out any of those things in the Word of God, like forgiveness, because there's nobody to forgive. So how is he going to conform you to the image of Christ? One of the ways is going to be through the relationships that you have. Oh, yeah, I know. He's going to make you so loving. It's going to be so great. But sometimes the process doesn't feel very good. Right?
Right.
It's easy to be loving when nobody crosses your will, just as it's easy to submit when you wanted to do it anyway. You know, that really doesn't even count as submission. You wanted to do it anyway. But submission is when it's not what you want and you go and you do it anyway. That's submission. Love is when it's hurting and you know it's right and you do it anyway. Now, I'm not talking about an abusive relationship, because that's not love, and God doesn't want us staying in abusive relationships, whether they're physical or verbal. He doesn't want us in abusive relationships. But he does want us to learn and grow and walk in love from relationships. So how many times do we forgive and forget? Once!
10,000.
Well, Roger's closer than once. We forgive and forget over and over and over. Being good at forgiving is essential for guarding our hearts. Forgiveness is a necessary part of relationships and life, because people, including me and you, are not perfect. Matthew, in chapter 18, verse 21-22, Peter came up to Jesus and he said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" He thought he was really stretching here, and he said, "Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. So what do you do about someone that keeps bringing up your past? You always do this. You always do that. You wronged me here. You wronged me there. I remember when you did this, and I remember when you did that." You forgive them. Because what they're displaying is that they haven't matured in either walking in love or in forgiveness. That they don't understand that they're to forgive the way that God forgives, and their forgiveness is not complete. Because when forgiveness is complete, then we don't dwell on it. We don't remember it anymore the same way God does. Forgiveness is a command. It's a direct order from Jesus Christ. Taking offenses into account is the opposite of love. Because love doesn't take it into account. Love doesn't keep a real long list and a tally sheet of all the times that somebody has wronged me, all the times they've hurt me and offended me. Love does not keep a mental list, an ongoing list, that you can easily pull these things out and remind somebody. I know the situation where a young man won't forgive his mother. I will pray more on this. But this has gone on for over 15 years. And this young man won't talk to his mother. He has cut her off. He has severed his relationship with her in his heart. And both physically, he won't be in the same room with her. He won't talk to her on the phone. His life is hard. He has a master's degree in business, not just a college degree. He has a master's degree in business and yet lives in extreme poverty like we see in third world countries. It does not have to be this way. Not only does the Bible teach us to forgive, but it also says, honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long. Wait, let's focus on that. That it may go well with you. Hello, there's a benefit in there for you when you will honor your mother and father. That it may go well with you. If we don't forgive, God does not forgive us. When we live free from unforgiveness, we live free from bondage. We forgive and keep our hearts right so that we can have and enjoy the blessings of God. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. It does not say honor them when you think that they deserve it. Apparently, God thinks they deserve it just because they are your mother and father. Hallelujah. Whose opinion do we go with? Yours or God's? The blessing is always in siding with God. There are two ways to live in life. God's way or the hard way. God's way is always best. His way is full of joy. We forgive and remember past sins no more. We forgive the way God forgives. We don't keep a record of wrongs. We don't keep a ledger or a mental list. We don't rehearse past sin over and over in our minds, thinking about what we could say or how we could have responded or what they deserve to hear. It's not for us to do that. We treat others the way God treats us. We forgive others the way God forgives us. Forgetting what lies behind, we press on. God has forgiven your past sin. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't think on it anymore. When he looks at you, he doesn't think about all the things you've ever done wrong. He has chosen. Now, God's not forgetful. It's not like he forgot. Do you understand there's a difference? He makes a choice not to dwell on your past sin. He makes a choice not to focus on it. He makes a choice not to remember it. God allows you to start each day brand new. Amen. Fresh. Washed clean. With all these wonderful possibilities in front of you. Oh, how glorious. To walk clean before God. Every day, a new start. Every day, new with God. And all of the possibilities of what he can do in you and with you and through you and what you can do to bring glory to his name. Praise the Lord. And we are to walk this way with others and forget their past, forget all the offenses and the wounding that's come against us. Let it go, not bring it back up once it's been dealt with. Forgive them. Completely, totally. Get rid of your mental list of wrongs. There are times to have sit-down discussions with someone over issues. I'm not saying go into denial. To communicate, to stay in relationship, we need to deal with each other and interact with each other, have conversations about how we're affecting each other in our behavior and in our communication. That's all real and valid. That's not what I'm saying here. But what I'm saying is after you've dealt with these things, and with some people, you can't even deal with them. You have to forgive them even when they don't say they're sorry. You have to forgive them anyway. There are some people that will refuse to communicate with you. They'll refuse to deal with things that don't know how to communicate or interact. Then you just have to do it before God. You forgive them and you let it go. release them. And when you release them, you are released. When you release them, blessings flow to you. Forgiveness flows to you. Healing flows to you. Prosperity flows to you. All the good things you're looking for flow to you when you release others. You think that you've been working on an area for a long time, you can't understand why that hasn't just popped and gone the way it should. And you've confessed and you've prayed. Oh, wait. I'm reminded of a scripture in the Bible that talks about men treating their wives a certain way so that what? Well, that's one thought, but that Bible doesn't really say that. Men treating their wives a certain way so that their prayers aren't hindered.
Right.
So if you've seen some of your prayers hindered, you may want to go back and look at, have you been clogging up that pipe to God? Because it's never clogged on His end. You know that, right? He is without fault. He is perfect. So if there's any adjustments, it's on our end. So if you want prosperity to spring forth as you've seen it before, then it's time for you to look at how you've been treating your spouse. Get that lined up. Amen?
Preach it.
Amen. Sometimes I directly don't look at you, and that's because if I know it's for you, then I'm not going to look at you. Sometimes I know it's for you and I can look at you anyway. Sometimes I'm not going to look at you, so you can't go by who I look at. Sometimes I look at you and sometimes I won't. Listen, I want you to know stuff. God knows everything. And when you stand up here and minister, you'd be amazed at what you know. You would be amazed at what you know. You would be amazed at what you can see. I can tell. I remember one person, one couple, and I remember where they were sitting. And God got me off the message, and I just started talking about you need to love your spouse. You think you're loving to everybody, and I didn't say this, but I knew in my heart they were treating their spouse horrible. Horrible. Well, you know, who on earth did you swear before God that you were going to love? Not really your neighbor. We're supposed to do that, but you didn't take an oath before God in the presence of all the witnesses. See, it's not just about having a big ceremony. Ooh, let's wear a white dress and spend lots of money and have a big ceremony. No, it's about a commitment before the eyes of God and witnesses about how you're going to treat someone. God takes time like this to deal with us because He wants to help us. You know, you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. You pray and you pray and you pray, and God's given you answers. God's given you answers. God's given you answers. Honor your mother and father that it may go well with you. Walk in love. Love the person you made a commitment to love. Forgive so that you can be forgiven. And you will walk in the blessings of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.